independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Billy Devaney will be joining us in a few minutes, former NFL executive, longtime NFL executive, former general manager with the St. Louis Rams. A lot of people are texting in asking about DeMeco Ryans. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Billy Devaney joining us now on the HR&P guest line. Billy, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to join us. Obviously, in Houston, the big story is, what do the Texans do now? I want to start, though, with your thoughts on Nick Caserio firing David Culley. It's been reported that they're going to have to pay him $22 million for his one year of service because of the future guarantees that were attached to the contract. Do you think Culley should have been fired? And how will ownership view all that money they're going to have to spend on a one-year coach?
Yeah, I tell you, that was really a weird situation. I don't know, guys. I mean, you're a heck of a lot closer to it than I. What was the arrangement when he was hired? Was it when the hiring was made? Was it with the understanding that it was going to be basically a bridge guy for a year? But then I think that's a hell of a bridge for 5 years. That's a long ass bridge to walk, and a lot of money that for a 1 year guy. So I don't know what the thinking was. You know, everybody recognizes what a good guy David is. Okay, the whole league knows he's a classy guy. You would have to think he understood what he was getting into. You know, I hear the stories about Nick being on the headset and communicating during games. That I'm assuming, I mean, something like that is that's pretty unique to say the least. And that should have been talked about during the hiring process. And if it was, and Culley signed off on it, then nobody should be upset about it, because that's, and then if he didn't, listen, the checks were being cashed during the season, and if Culley felt that the situation just was kind of like he was losing control, or he didn't have the control that he wanted, he didn't have to keep cashing those checks. So that part of it was his choice. So I don't know. It's a whole thing is kind of weird. Listen, he's a great guy, but it obviously took everybody by surprise when he was named the head coach. He really wasn't on anybody else's radar. So I hope they, you know, I don't need to tell you what a great fan base that is. I just hope they get the guy that they want. There's some daggum stability. That's the biggest thing they just need to establish. They've already set their course. I mean, it's going to be New England's way of doing things, and that's fine. There's different ways to get this thing done, but settle on a guy, and obviously more than a year, and there needs to be just stability to the organization at this point.
And Billy, you touched on one of the questions I wanted to ask you about, because we all hear about the Patriots way, and if it was successful, a lot of people would be on board with it. But it seems like from the revolving door of quarterbacks that have Patriots ties they brought in, even under Bill O'Brien, to what they're dealing with now with Caserio and Easterby, that it just is something that's a negative stigma that's attached to this franchise. And with your experiences as a general manager, you obviously have to have a level of communication and a relationship with whoever you bring in, because it is your choice. But is it safe to say that you think that, and everybody else thinks, they're only going to interview guys that know the Patriots way, that have been through the Patriots circle, as opposed to some of the guys that I feel like they might be overlooking, like a Byron Leftwich, or guys that should get more of a look, because look, they've just earned their place regardless of whether they coached or played for the Patriots or not.
Right. No, and it's a real valid point that you make. You're right. You touched on it. I mean, the key is the communication part. This is a tough ass league now, guys. You know, it's a win games on Sunday. I mean, it is tough. And if you don't have your act together as an organization, and you've got internal problems, and there's infighting and stuff going on, you don't have a prayer to compete in this league. You got to have an organization on the same page. The communication has to be there. Caserio is a sharp guy. I mean, some of his decisions may not have been very popular and are still open to question. A lot of them. But he kind of knows what he's doing. Now, is he going to make the right choice? I don't know. That remains to be seen. The way that I said, I worked with a couple of guys at the Falcons. I'll tell you a real quick story. And we're doing this seminar for a bunch here, a bunch of Arthur Blank's businesses. And somebody raised their hand and asked, there were two guys that were at New England, said, could you explain to me, just in the short version, we hear a lot about the Patriot Way. Can you just explain what exactly is the Patriot Way? And they looked at each other and kind of laughed, and they said, you go. I said, okay, I'll go. You know the Patriot Way? Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's the Patriot Way. End of story. There's no Patriot Way. There's one guy responsible for the Patriot Way. It's Bill Belichick. So if you get a guy, I'm not saying another Bill Belichick, but if you get the face of the franchise that you're comfortable with and is a good, solid coach and there's communication throughout, then you're on to something. You're giving yourself a fighting chance. Now, to come up with that guy, you've seen people leave New England, coaches and administrators. It hasn't worked out real good in other places. So far, in my mind, there's only one Belichick, and nobody's come close to that.
Billy Devanny is our guest on the HRMP guest line, longtime NFL executive, former general manager for the Rams as well. You speak a little bit to the attractiveness of the job. You mentioned Caserio on the headset is unique. I imagine for people that don't know Nick Caserio or are unaware of this, that's going to be a little bit of a situation they look at and wonder, okay, what's going on there? Might even dismiss a few candidates from the potential pool. The roster's not in a great spot. It's better than it was a year ago when David Culley took the job, but not much better. What's the attractiveness of the job? And since it's not that attractive, how does that limit some of the candidates that could potentially be available for this job?
Yeah, with Nick being on the headset, you know, I understand, you know, that was the case in New England, but it was more as an educational part of the job, more so than Nick contributed anything on game day. It didn't sound like that was the case in Houston. The only thing I could think of, guys, there are a few coaches in the league that do have their analytics person live on their headset. And the guy's usually in the background, and the head coach may say, Joe, you know, this is what we're looking at down the road. Just keep this in mind. So there's some communication with the analytics guys with certain teams. Maybe that's what Nick was doing. He was playing the role of the analytic guy. But here's where I kind of have a problem with it. The optics are terrible. Here you got the general manager and the boss, and that's who's communicating with the head coach. The locker room needs to know who is our guy? Who is the guy? Who's the face of the franchise? Who's our boss? And, you know, last year, looking from the outside, you had Nick and you had David Culley. The player, you know, the locker room's like, okay, who's really calling the shots around here? That head coach needs to be the guy. Those players have to know their future and their play time. Lies in the hands of that head coach. And everybody else in the organization is there to support the head coach. There can't be two guys. There's no, you know, for a lot of reasons, but especially because of the players in the locker room. They have to know they're coming out of that tunnel. They're going to fight their butts off for that head coach. That's their guy. So I think if they're, you know, having somebody on the headset, if it's an analytic guy, get an analytic guy up there and get the general manager back in the general manager's box or the press box, wherever he sits, and get him away from the head coach on game day.
Billy, okay, we evaluated Culley, and you touched on it a little further. Let's evaluate Nick Caserio from the standpoint of a lot of people giving him a pass because he didn't have a pick until the third round. A lot of people saying, you know what, he's got to get his feet wet. But what he did in his first year getting his feet wet was he just basically was giving away low-round picks for players that never even sniffed the roster and in some cases were gone as quick as you brought them in terms of deals he made for 7th and 6th and 5th round picks or giving away guys like Mark Ingram for picks that you may or may not even be around when that pick becomes available and it's going to be worthless. How much can you evaluate based on what Caserio did in his first year with limited resources?
Yeah, you know what? I would say on the whole, I'd give him a passing grade. I'd also give David Culley a passing grade because the roster is not that talented. Let's be honest. I don't want to say they're in the rebuilding stage, but you know what, guys? The biggest issue that I had with the team, and I don't think you go back to training camp. And correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there was any great expectations that this was a playoff team. Or
no,
was gonna
no
be,
not at all. You know, and Billy, by the way, okay. Don't worry about saying that we already said it. They were in full rebuild.
Yeah, rebuild would be a compliment.
Yeah. Okay, then fill me in, guys. And that's great. If you're in that mode, then how do you start the season? I think they were the second oldest roster in the NFL, and they've been first for a while. But at worst, it was the second oldest roster. If you're going to be in rebuild, you can't have that many old guys on your team. If you're rebuilding, okay, that's fine. We get it. But let's get some of these. We got to get some young guys some playing time and start this process. That's where I think they're behind right now. Is that they're, you know, if they were in full rebuild mode and there weren't enough young players getting experience last season.
Well, but Caserio still gets a pass because, you know, he would trade for a guy and then cut him the next week. He would trade for another guy and give up a sixth or seventh round pick, and then the guy wouldn't make the roster coming out of camp. And so, you know, a lot of people, including us, were like, what's he really doing here? And what happens when he gets a full stable of draft picks? Are we to expect more of the same, or are we supposed to feel confident that this year, when he gets all these high picks, he's going to know what to do with them?
Right. No, that's valid. I'm with you. And when I say give him a pass, it's barely. I was maybe the better thing to say the jury's still out. Maybe that's more fair. I don't want to crush him yet because there's a lot going on at that place. There are a lot of things that he screwed up, and I would hope that he'd be the first to admit that. I would just say let's give him another shot before we say that he's a total failure. Not real excited about it, but I would still say I don't want to flunk him right now. Let's just say a barely passable grade at this point.
Hey, Billy, before we let you go, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you, what's the value you see in Deshaun Watson with everything that's happened? I mean, the situation from the get-go looked like everybody's saying it could be the biggest haul in NFL history for a trade. And then, obviously, with everything that happened off the field and otherwise, people's opinions changed. What do you think they can conceivably get for him this offseason or whenever they trade him?
Yeah, you know, and again, I don't know. It probably depends on what, I don't even say his legal situation, but what's the stance the NFL is going to take? You would think there's going to be some kind of suspension coming from the NFL. Is it going to be three games? Is it going to be half the season? I think that will, as much as anything, determine what his value is going to be to another team. So it's like a lot of things with Deshaun right now. Everything's in a holding pattern until he gets the legal part taken care of and straightened out, and then the league takes its stance. I think that, and just on a personal note, I mean, it's not a big thing, but I was with the Falcons when and Deshaun went to high school right down the road from the Falcon facility. So he's a local kid, and he's at Clemson now, and he's a star. You know, I mean, it's, God dang, it's Deshaun Watson. He worked at our, I mean, maybe you heard the story. He worked at our training camp over the summer before he went back to Clemson one year. And this is as big as, in this area, you know, he's as big as a star as you can be. He was so low-key and such a normal kid. He worked, I mean, he'd be cleaning cleats at 2 o'clock in the morning. He worked in the equipment room for training camp. He's washing jocks and towels at getting up 4 o'clock in the morning for practice. The players, Matt Ryan and those guys, are like, this kid's incredible. He didn't say crap, and all he does is grind, and he's just like one of the workers. His family would come by, just the neatest family you could ever meet. So I hope whatever it is, for everybody's sake, I know the kid at his core is a good kid, is a really good kid. I hope for the Texans, their point of view, everybody involved, I hope it gets straightened out.
Billy, put your general manager's hat on one more time for me and say, if you're picking up the phone right now with Caserio, knowing what you know, how does that conversation start? Are there clauses that say if butts, candies, nuts, if this does come to fruition or not? Are there, you know, contingency plans, or are you just looking for a bargain right now?
No, you know what? I wouldn't be looking for a bargain, man. The guy's so good. Now you have to put some protection in, of course. Just throw out a team, maybe Miami, or, you know, just say Miami. You'd have to have some protection in there just in case he, God forbid, he's suspended for a year, or got, you know, he's suspended for six games. There would have to be some clauses in there to protect the team that he's going to for whatever was coming down the pike.
Billy, great stuff. Yeah. Really appreciate you taking a few minutes, and really appreciate your insight that you were able to provide.
No, man. Hey, Joel, relax, man. You got this game. You got this game Saturday night in the bag, brother. You're in good shape.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Billy. That's the first thing I can believe in. That I can have hope for.
All right, no, it'll be good. Thank you, guys. Always good.
All right, you got to look to catch up with him again down the road. Billy Devaney, a longtime NFL executive, spent a few years as the general manager with the St. Louis Rams as well. He said one thing that really caught my attention. I'm going to tell you what it is whenever we come back, and also how it could affect the coaching search of the Houston Texans. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about MyBookie. Look, there's a game still to be bet on tonight, and if you look for the best place to do that, it's MyBookie.ag, and it's the only place to put money down on any game, frankly, because of the fact that there's so many variables that are the major, major factors for you. One, your money is always safe and secure. Two, when you win, you're going to get paid instead of all these companies that are out there hemming and hawing, trying to keep onto your cash so that you'll find a way to lose it with them instead of them having to actually find literally cash to give to you. And so many other variables, including all the different times that they have promotions going on that don't cost you anything. But if you win, you're going to get paid. That's why you go to mybookie.ag, and one of those promotions is going on right now. If you go to mybookie.ag and you're either a returning customer, a former customer, or a new customer, and you put in the promo code BET975, you're going to cash in with double your next deposit up to $1,000. That means more money in your account, more money for you to bet with, and more chances for you to win. And like I said, when you win, you're going to get paid. They take care of you that way too. It's a fantastic deal because they take care of their customers. Go right now to mybookie.ag, put in that promo code BET975, and reap the benefits of being the next loyal customer that finds out that it's the only place that you need to go to when putting money down on games. Live in-game betting, all the different sports, all the different games, all available at one specific place, and the fact that you can bet on any device. You can use your phone, your laptop, your tablet. It does not matter. And in live in-game betting, you can use with any kind of currency, from crypto to just flat-out credit cards. They'll take it. They'll allow you to play with it and put it into the account so that you can bet with it. And if you win, they're going to pay you. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN. 97.5. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
That's a hell of a bridge for 5 years. That's a long-ass bridge to walk, and a lot of money for a one-year guy.
That was Bill Devaney, former Rams general manager, longtime executive in the NFL. And that's what tears me up about this David Culley firing. Like, I don't care that they got rid of David Culley. I don't. Did he deserve a second year? Probably not. Like, he won four games with a team that was expected to win four games. But if you watched him down in, down out in the NFL, you can find a better head coach in the NFL. That's an obvious reaction to after the season that he's had. The paying him the $22 million, and I understand that it's like not all at once, it's over the duration of the contract, but to guarantee the dude $22 million when he's going to be a stopgap bridge, I think the way that Billy Devaney described it was the perfect way to describe it, how long of a bridge it was. And
right.
It turned out not to be.
And it doesn't matter when you get it, you're going to get it. You're set for a lifetime, right? You don't. You can get it the 1st and the 15th, you can get it how in a lump sum payment, whatever the case may be. You never have to work again. You're taken care of. And so I thought a lot of his insights were great. I think the fact that having his general manager hat on, the fact that the first thought in his mind was, if he was calling the Texans right now about Deshaun, was, I'm looking for a deal. I'm looking for a bargain. I'm going to try and get him for the low, low price. And especially if you already have a quarterback on the roster, it's like best case scenario, you can upgrade to him. But in the worst case scenario, you didn't have to give up much and you still got a guy that can get you where you need to go. Those are teams that are probably going to be calling. We had made reference to everything about when Deshaun was with Atlanta. That's why I think the sleeper team that's going to get involved in this at some point is Atlanta, because they're trying to move on from Matt Ryan. They have a lot of young players on their roster already, and he wouldn't veto that move.
You mentioned a bargain for Deshaun. Like, you don't really believe that somebody's going to get Deshaun for a bargain, though, right?
I'm not saying Casario's going to accept it, but I wanted to get it from a guy that has a general manager on his resume, that title, to be able to say, what's your thought process going into a call that you would make right now for Nick Caserio? Obviously, you know, a sucker's born every minute. I mean, if you get someone on the line like Daryl Morey did over and over again, if you get a GM you can take advantage of, why wouldn't you? I mean, it's up to him to say no. You shouldn't be penalized for at least throwing it out there, trying to get him for whatever steal of a deal you're looking for.
Yeah, if I was on the other side of the phone, I'd be calling and offering lowball deals for Deshaun Watson, but I don't believe Nick Asterio would accept it.
Right, the flip side is Daryl Morey's out there telling you that Ben Simmons is worth 5 first-round picks.
Right, and Nick Asterio did have some lowball offers that he didn't accept at the trade deadline. I mean, if you believe the reports that Carolina was willing to trade for Deshaun Watson without the parameters, without the restrictions, without the clauses, then Nick Casario turned down Carolina's offer, although there's also the trade deadline part of it as well, the fact that Deshaun Watson has the no-trade clause, that could be something that came into play as well. All right, the one thing that stood out to me, aside from the Deshaun Watson point and then calling it the long bridge that he did, Billy Devaney, former NFL GM, like the headset thing, the fact that Nick Casario is on the headset, and a lot of people in the city, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, he did it in New England. Oh, he's been on the headset all year. Like, where have you been? You haven't been paying attention. That's not the point. Devaney, to me, had the perfect answer from, like, my point of view on why I think Casario on the headsets, at least the information getting out there, was bad.
Here's where I kind of have a problem with it. The optics are terrible. Here you got the general manager and the boss, and that's who's communicating with the head coach. The locker room needs to know, who is our guy? Who's the face of the franchise? Who's our boss? And, you know, last year, looking from the outside, you had Nick and you had David Coley. The player, you know, the locker room's like, okay, who's really calling the shots around here? That head coach needs to be the guy. Those players have to know their future and their play time. Their lives in the hands of that head coach. And everybody else in the organization is there to support the head coach.
There's two ways to look at this. First off is like the fact of what it does for the coaching candidates around the league. And we've seen the three that have been interviewed, Brian Flores, Joe Lombardi, Hines Ward. Like, if you're a tip-top candidate for this head coaching job and you have no relation to Casario, like, people are saying, oh, it's no big deal, Casario's on the headset. People that cover the Houston Texans, who cares? No big deal, et cetera, that you don't have to worry about it. You know who's worried about it? Top candidates that
sure
don't know
are.
Nick Casario.
Well, and the thing is, it's one thing for us to talk to, and he's on ESPN right now, Jeremy Fowler, friend of the show, and a lot of the big names that we've also gotten that said, yes, it's concerning, but they wouldn't go to what extent, right? To what level? You got a guy that used to be a general manager in this league basically painting you the picture. This is unheard of. Unless you're trying to do like down and distance things or gather data for analytics, this is the only way it would be even remotely acceptable. But it's not acceptable to think of the boss being on the headset and interacting during a time when you're supposed to be doing your job. That's what I took from it. That's the big meat and potatoes that was right there for you, for the taking, for the fans listening, is the fact that you're taking a guy that knows it better than any media member nationally or locally or otherwise, that has been there, done that, and lived it. And he's telling you that was a really, really bad sign.
Look, and I don't, like, to me, you have to separate. Like, I don't really mind that Casario's on the headsets. I really don't. And, in fact, I think he can be valuable on the headsets. Yeah, it depends on what he's doing. Like, if he's calling the plays, that's a huge problem, but I don't believe that to be the case. It's not so much about, like, the actual tangible thing. It's about the perception and what Devaney told you about the optics of it. People that don't know the scenario are going to be like, what in the world is my boss doing on the headset telling me what to do in a game scenario? Now, it's not really that, but that's the perception. That's the read of it around the league whenever you hear it. Everybody we've had on that has ties to the NFL, whether it's personnel, whether it's former coaches, they say, yeah, that's really weird. So other people that don't know the scenario are looking at that and saying, wow, that's really weird. And if you're going to like be interested in a job like that, but you're being suited by a bunch of other jobs, like that's going to stick out like a sore thumb.
No question. It scares the hell out of you. It just like if Daryl Morey was the first general manager to say, I'm hiring your assistant coaches.
Yes.
For most guys, if there were better jobs available or there was the equal type job available, but the difference was you got to hire all of your staff as opposed to one or two of your staff, that's a deal breaker, right? That's a deal changer. And I think you're right. That's why every candidate throws up a red flag. And when he sits down with them, as much as they have questions for him, he better have questions for them as well, because there's no way that should be acceptable. And on top of all of that, when you hear guys that say, look, the other thing to your point, if he's on the headset and he's trying to make a difference just by down and distance or analytics things, that's one thing, like he did in New England. If he's second-guessing decisions or telling his employee what decisions to be made, then it tells you he got the wrong guy, which we found out he did. But you should have known that going in before you had to find out with on-the-job training and then started to actually get involved while he was trying to do his job and altering the situation.
Well, there's evidence of that, right? I mean, Cully flat out told you that in the New England game, Caserio was telling me to let them score, and he didn't do it.
Yep.
So, like, there's evidence to that. And Caserio also in his press conference, he got asked the question, and Caserio says, look, I'm a helper. And look, I want to believe that, and I might even believe that. And it could be, like, beneficial on game day. But it's the optics, it's the perception of it that is going around the league, and people that are unaware of the scenario are going to be like, keep me away from that. I want nothing to do with it. How do you feel about the optics and the perception of Caserio on the headset, Houston, and does it impact who the next head coach of the Houston Texans is going to be? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Also, when we return, the coaching search, is it going to drag out? Caserio said they're going to be patient. They're going to be diligent. It looks like it's going to drag out. Is that good or is it bad? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Turn down for what? Turn down for what?
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Got a few texts about the Caserio on the headset thing. Aggie Matt saying once Cully punted on the third down, which is 100% fact, that's something that actually happened with an NFL head coach, that he actually punted on a theoretical third down. He lost all trust and leverage from Caserio. If that hadn't happened, the headset story wouldn't be. We don't know that to be true. Like, we don't know at what point Caserio started. Like, Caserio was always on the headset. He was always in the press box. We don't know at what point he started communicating with Cully and was basically telling him, like, game management decisions. So, like, if Caserio, like, didn't put the void on that, then that's a huge problem. And then somebody else saying, dude, Cully is a simpleton. He clearly needed his hand held. Look, that is true, but you're not getting the point. Like, the fact that Caserio needed to be on the headset on game day to help Cully and have his hand held, that could be absolutely true. I believe it to be true. I feel like his decision in the Patriots game, Cully should have listened to Caserio. That's not the point. It's the perception of it all. It's the optics of it all. It's if you're the top offensive coordinator who is the number one coaching candidate to be the next hotshot in the NFL and you don't have a relationship with Nick Caserio, you're going to look at that and say, I don't want to go there. It's the optics and the perception. Is it right that Caserio is on the headsets? Yeah, probably. Is it helping the Texans on game day? Yeah, probably. Caserio said that he likes to do it because he's helping the head coach. He's aiding the head coach. He's trying to be like somebody who is a servant leader who is just trying to help out. But if you're anybody else around the NFL and you see that, you're like, I'm staying away. I'd rather go somewhere else where I don't have to worry about my boss being in my ear.
Well, and look, we're trying to lay it all out for you and paint the picture for you so you know exactly what this situation is like. And you're painting it from the standpoint of the headset and getting into that. The other thing that I thought he was very, very clear about painting the picture of is this is why it's Patriots way, even though it's clearly from his experiences Belichick way from people that have been in the Patriots way. But it's also the fact that that's why all these Patriots candidates are going to be your finalists, because of the fact that it's the only way that Caserio knows, and therefore it's the only way that he trusts, which means as much as Byron Leftwich should be at the top of your list, he's not going to be in because he's not from the Patriots way. And if he has to have full and utter control and trust with whoever he chooses, he won't have that with anybody coming from outside of the Patriots way. So you'll see the Lombardis being interviewed in the Hines Wards and several others, I'm sure, before they actually come to the conclusion they're ready to make a hire. It's also going to take longer than everybody's hoping and expecting for because of the fact that they're going to get turned down a whole lot. Because from the reasons why you've mentioned and because there's so many better jobs that are out there and may still become available like the Cowboys, there's going to be opportunities for these coaches to go, I don't have to endure that hellhole of a roster for multiple years on the rebuild. I can jump right in, hit the ground running, and grab a situation far better with far less red flags like you're talking about from the headset.
Yeah, and it might not be a problem. I agree with the textures. I agree with Aggie Matt. I agree that Cully needed his hand held, but it's the optics. It's the perception. Another candidate I've seen being kicked around a lot with this job is DeMeco Ryans, former Houston Texan. Stute stood on the table for him last Friday. A good name, good candidate, good resume. I wouldn't be mad at DeMeco Ryans. I'm sure it was a sturdy table. Sure. Oh, it's messed up. anyways, I'd be okay with DeMeco Ryans as the head coach of the Houston Texans. I could be on board with that. He's a young, you know, defensive coordinator. He had a very good game yesterday. He coaches one of the best defenses in the NFL. the huge hang-up here, the huge hurdle here, one, there's two. It's the one we're just talking about because D'Amico Ryans isn't in that Patriots tree.
Right.
How much is he going to want Nick Caserio in his ear on a headset because of the optics, because of the perception? Two, dude had a lawsuit against the Houston Texans in NRG Stadium for the bad surface that he felt led to his injury
Eagles when
and
it
that
happened.
Ruined his career.
Yep, and blew his Achilles. And he blamed the turf, and whether you sued the organization directly or you sued NRG Park and NRG, it doesn't matter. That's a massive factor. And like I said, the biggest factor from a football perspective, because Caserio probably won't have the background on that, and God knows if he brought it up to the owner, if he'd remember or even bring it up to him. But the not having the Patriots connections, not having the existing relationship with Caserio and Easterby, it's going to factor in, and it's going to be the reason why he's not going to be looked at here.
The text you're texting in again. Last thing that the Texans are worried about is media conjured terms like optics, my man. Caserio comes to the franchise, who gives a damn about how they look. Trust the process. I think we're saying the same thing. I don't disagree with anything that you're saying, 6183. And I don't think Caserio does care about the optics. It's why he's not going to hire a D'Amico Ryans. It's why he's not going to hire a Byron Leftwich. It's because he's going to hire somebody that he feels he could probably have control over. Because like what we were hearing from the former Rams GM that we had on, Billy Devaney, was that, like, who is the face of the franchise? Is it the head coach or is it Nick Caserio? I would argue that 100% it's Nick Caserio that's the face of this franchise.
He's with a franchise that cares deeply about the optics, cares deeply about the perception of the public and the media. So therefore, because there's no limit on the maximum number of candidates you're allowed to interview, they will do whatever they need to do from a public perception standpoint to appease everyone in the fact that, unlike the last cycle, when they didn't interview the number one guy everybody said they had to interview, including your starting quarterback, this time, they will appease everyone. They will interview till they're blue in the face every single viable candidate that gets everyone off their back. But at the end of the day, the people, like I just said earlier, the people that are going to be finalists are going to be the Patriots Way people that they have existing relationships with that are deep and deeply rooted in Foxborough.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Going back to the Caserio press conference on Friday, he spoke about what he's going to be looking for in a new head coach and basically said, look, I value leadership over the X's and O's.
But I think, you know, coaching, a head coach position is really, it's probably a leadership position more than anything else. I think a lot of times people get caught up in, you know, the X's and O's. Now there's a, I would say, X and O strategy component to that. But again, it's within the context and the construct of everything else that's around that individual. So our responsibility, my responsibility, is to continue to provide support and create an infrastructure so that our entire organization, our entire operation can succeed. So I would say, honestly, a lot of the qualities that David possessed, like those more than likely will not change.
So you have leadership over the X's and O's. To me, that's why you don't necessarily have to be a coordinator to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. David Culley was never a coordinator. He was the head coach of the Houston Texans. You look at the candidates, and we talked about this earlier. Brian Flores interviewed, I think it was even Friday, maybe Saturday. I can't remember. Long weekend for me. Joe Lombardi, who is the grandson of Vince Lombardi. And then Hines Ward, who's currently the wide receivers coach at Florida Atlantic. Yes, those are the three guys that have interviewed for the Houston Texans job. Now, look. You look at those jobs, and, like, some of these interviews are fake, right? Some of these interviews are fake in regards to the head coaching position. Like, Hines Ward certainly is not going to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. Brendan would make a perfect case on why Joe Lombardi is not going to be the head coach of the Houston Texans going forward. So you look at these interviews, it's like, yes, these are fake. Absolutely, in terms of who's going to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. Now, I would point to all of those interviews, though, and say it is a good interview. Like, you might not even be interviewing them as the head coach of the Houston Texans. Like, you're taking advantage of the opportunity to go out there and talk to a bunch of people that you wanted to talk to. You might look at them as somebody who, in the future, could be somebody that's on your staff.
That's where I'm going.
You want different different philosophies. You want to hear different things. You want to learn more about a person. Like, I could see a scenario in which Hines Ward is the next receivers coach for the Houston Texans. So there's still value. It's still a good interview, even though it's a fake interview in regards to the head coach.
That's
position.
Where I was going. And look, from the Josh McCown perspective, at least you don't have to try and fool no one into saying you're bringing him in as a player just because you heard he might be a good coaching candidate down the road or position coach, and you wanted him to groom and work with your quarterbacks while he never plays a down for you, but he could possibly be on the roster. This way, you're doing it the smart way. And the good news is when you're interviewing Hines Ward and he shows that he still has those leadership qualities, that he can still communicate and he's still recent enough to communicate with the modern-day locker room in the NFL, that he might have value to your franchise. That's why when you're putting this staff together, especially because it looks like you're going to have your hands all over it no matter who you hire as the head coach, because that's the way you want it to be, is that you're going to get guys like what we were talking about last week. I don't, you know what? You could do a whole lot worse in terms of your culture, which is just a massive hot button for this franchise. Culture, leadership, control of the locker room. You could do a lot worse if Hines Ward is your receivers coach, Joe Judge is your special teams coach, Lovie Smith is your defensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton is your offensive coordinator. No matter who you get as head coach, you now have tons of stability and credibility within your locker room and leadership across the board that you probably didn't have previously.
Look, the Texans are going to interview dozens of candidates, and it goes back to the question that we teased with. The coaching search going to drag out. Is that a good or a bad thing? Like, the fact that this could take maybe the Texans are the last team that hires a head coach again, like they were last year with David Culley. Does that bother you? Does that affect you one way or the other? Is it a good or a bad thing if it does drag out?
No, because, I mean, we've already established it's the worst job out there. And so I would be hard pressed to tell you that anybody's willing to jump right off take the leap of faith and jump right off and say, I want to go to the Texans. That's my choice. I think every candidate that's out there that's viable is sitting there going, I want it to be out there and at least in the underbelly of the gossip circle. I want people to know there's a team already willing to snap me up. But just like we're talking about in the Deshaun situation, if I'm anybody out there, if I'm Mayo or Flores or no matter who else, as we talked about Leftwich, I'm sitting there going, I'm weighing all my options because this is a life-changing decision for me. It's not one that I take lightly or I'm going to make quickly. And so I get it. You want me to take that job right away, and you'll probably try and put pressure on me to take it before those other jobs actually make me substantial offers. But I'm going to play my cards close to the vest too, and I'm going to interview with you, and I'm going to go through the process, and I'm never going to discourage you. But I'm also never going to commit to you until I know all of my options and all the potential possible places I could land.
To me, it doesn't matter if it drags out. And the reason that the Texans are so willing to be concise, to be deliberate, to be patient with this, to me, is because they feel comfortable with who they already think they're going to hire. I believe that Nick Caserio already knows who he's going to hire. I feel Nick Caserio already knew who he was going to hire before he took the general manager job at the Houston Texans. The only question was, when was that decision going to have to be made? That's why it took a four-day evaluation period by Nick Caserio, is because they were thinking about, okay, do we have to do this now? Is that guy that I want to hitch my wagon to be willing to be fired with, because if it doesn't work, you're going to be fired with this guy, is now the time to do that? I believe that that was the reason that they moved on from David Culley, so that time is now. If you're that confident in that person, you're that sure that you want to hitch your wagon to that person, that you're willing to be fired with that person, that to me shows that you already know who it's going to be, that you're confident you're going to be able to get him, and that this whole dog and pony show is going to be like interviews with guys that you want to pick their brain. You might want them to be a position coach. You might want to just have a different peek at somebody else's different philosophy. In terms of this being dragged out, to me it doesn't change the equation whatsoever.
But it tells you one thing more than any of those things, and it goes back to what Billy Devaney said to us, and that is there's a pre-existing relationship, and with that there's pre-existing communication, which means if I know you're my guy all along, even though, you know, there's all kinds of other discussions going on, I've already had a conversation with you that says, look, to appease everyone, to take care of the media, the league, the fans, and everybody else, I'm going to sit down and talk to a lot of people. Just know you're my guy. Just know that we're going to get down. Maybe it's already a done deal. I'll make a handshake agreement with you. I'll line up the parameters of the deal. Just know it isn't going anywhere, and it's yours. But let me do what I've got to do for the situation at hand to appease everybody else. But I believe that that conversation either has happened or will happen with whoever they want, who's number one on their list, and realize between the Rooney Rule and the media and the fan base and everybody else, they are going to interview a plethora of candidates. But they, like, I completely agree with you. There's a Patriots Way candidate that's already been selected. There's a Patriots Way candidate that they're already dialed into. And there's a Patriots Way that they're already chosen as their next head coach, probably already done. Maybe it's between two and they'll narrow it down to one. But believe you me, that conversation has happened with both those candidates going, please be patient. We love you, but there's other things we got to do.
Your tweets, your texts, your calls, got a lot of feedback to this. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. The three candidates so far that have interviewed for the job, Brian Flores, Joe Lombardi, Hines Ward. What'd you think of those three interviews? Are they fake interviews? Are they good interviews? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I think whenever you're talking about this Texans head coaching search and eventually the hire of whoever the head coach is going to be, I think the question that you have to ask at the very beginning is, do you trust Nick Caserio with this hire?
It's a great question. And again, it's kind of what I asked Billy about, too, because of the fact that while you're patting yourself on the back, I'll elaborate on what
I mean. You told me I had a great question.
No, it's a great question to ask the peeps, but okay, I'll give you credit. I'm not like you. Here's the thing. When I look at the entire situation, it's the body of work. It's the entire body of work. And we talked about how we've evaluated every coach and general manager and player in this city. And that is by the first major thing you either do right or wrong, in which the clock starts ticking and we can really look at it as substantive and say, this is why or why we are for or against you, the job you're doing, and what needs to be done. He hasn't had the major yet, right? But this is a major screw-up, because as much as he hasn't had the major of trading Deshaun Watson or having a full draft or a free agency period where you had resources to work with, this was a hire that you had to fire 1 year into a five-year deal. So it is a red flag. And if the clock wasn't ticking before, or it was just mildly kind of ticking, now it's going 100 miles an hour, and people are watching every next thing that you do across the board. So it's something that you have to keep an eye on, because of the fact that it's only going to get – the seat's only going to get hotter, because you have to do something with Watson. You don't want to get into another season where he's still on your roster. You have to get the right pick at head coach this time around. You have to avoid screw-ups between multiple mixed messages coming from the head coach and yourself during press conferences, to word leaking out of all the things that you're doing that no one else does in the league that makes you look bad, to all the things that as you continue to make strides to rebuild this roster matters, not maybe not as much, but it matters too in terms of the perception of the organization when you're trying to get players to come here, when you're trying to get key people in the front office to want to work here. Those are things that matter.
We've been, in my opinion, fairly critical of Nick Caserio. I think we've been fair with him. I think we've been probably more – our definition of fair is probably more critical than a lot of people. But I still trust Nick Caserio with this hire. I still believe he can get this hire right. I don't look at the David Culley situation. I've heard a lot of people say this, that you can't trust Nick Caserio because he totally mishandled the David Culley hire. But I feel like people that are saying that are people that are thinking that Nick Caserio should have hired Bill Belichick in year one. Like, it wasn't the time to do that yet. Nick Caserio knew eventually who the head coach he wanted to be of this organization, but he didn't want to subject him to 1 or 2 years of a terrible football team that this past year was. It's earlier than I thought it was going to happen. I thought David Culley was going to be here for 2 seasons, so it's earlier than that. The process has been expedited for whatever you want to believe. I believe it's because the candidate is going to be gobbled up by somebody else if you don't do it now. I don't look at the David Culley hire by Caserio and make it my thought that Nick Caserio can't make the next hire a positive one. So I still have trust that Caserio can get this hire right. Mm-hmm. Is that saying that he's going to get it right? We'll have to wait to see who the hire is going to be and then break it down there. But I still trust that he can get this hire right. Absolutely.
Maybe it puts more trust, Jeremy, because of the fact that now he has to get the guy, right? He has to get the guy, not just for the bridge. Now he's got to get the guy for the long term, because you've already misstepped once. So now you can't, like, for to use different terms than what's being used on the text line, but you can't see that the sky is blue and tell me that it's purple anymore, right? You can't just get a guy saying he's your guy, but he's only your bridge guy. Now you got to get the legit guy for the short and the long term, which means maybe there's more credence to the fact that let me see who you hire now, and then I'll really be able to start judging you, because it's that important, and you don't have any room to fudge it anymore. You've got to get it right for the short and the long term, as opposed to the last hire you made, which people were going to be forgiving for if it only lasted a couple of years.
Which is why Nick Caserio pulling the trigger after year one was surprising to me, because I thought he would try to buy himself another year of not really being judged and graded, like on the curve that you should be judged and graded as a general manager. A lot of people are saying the clock starts now. No, it should have started the day he got hired. Mm-hmm. But now that he did this a year before we all thought he was going to do, it really puts his feet on the fire.
It has to make you wonder just how bad it really got, because you had a guy, no matter how bad it was in year one, that was set up to do exactly what you needed him to do for one more year. So it had to be so unbearable, or things had to be so egregiously bad and the mistakes had to be so blatantly made that he felt like he had to make a change, or that maybe the fact that Culley was ready to go public and start telling people, this is what I'm dealing with, kind of like what Billy was talking about when we interviewed him, about the fact that at a certain point you signed up for this, and if you didn't sign up for this, you know at a certain point he's going to want to clear his name and go, time out. I took this gig, but I didn't know he was going to be on the headsets. I didn't know I was going to get note cards for press conferences. I didn't know that no matter what I did, I had to report back to him and who I talked to and what I said. And then I didn't know that my locker room and the things that went on there with Easterby and being involved and otherwise were going to be.
Do you believe that, though?
I think to a certain degree, the David Culley still is a man of character that has pride and believe, you know, and wants to protect his own image and name. And no matter what you say he signed up for and he's getting paid for, everybody has a breaking point to go, okay, time out. I get it. I signed up for this and I was going to be paid that.
Right.
But at a certain point, I worked this long in this league that had the reputation that everybody said they'd hire me on their staff. And now I'm getting all kinds of questions that I didn't sign up for because that wasn't part of the deal and that's not who I am as a man.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Do you trust Nick Caserio with this hire? You know, here's a theory. Like, why is David Culley's guarantee $22 million? Because maybe everything that you just said tacked on a couple of more million dollars to the contract. Oh, you're going to be the head coach of the Texans? Here's your base salary. You're going to have a terrible roster. Okay, well, let's guarantee it two more million. I'm going to be on the headset. Okay, well, let's bump it up 3 to 4 more million. Jack Easterby is still going to be somebody that's around and has power in this organization. Well, you better bump it up 5 to 6 more million. You add up all of those expenses, and now you have this big guarantee for David Culley, who should have never even been an NFL head coach to begin with.
Even if it wasn't David Culley, and I said kudos to his agent, that at least the agent with clear mind and sound principles was going into any negotiation with Nick Caserio going, so you want my guy, but the reason why you want my guy is all the things that line up that he's done in his career that lead you to believe he's a man of character, he's a man of leadership, he's a man of all these things that you like him for. Well, guess what? On the flip side, before he comes to be your guy, there's not a whole lot lining up that says he should take this job and just dive in with both feet, because you're not giving him a roster. You're not giving him salary cap flexibility. You're not giving him the ability to choose his own staff. You're not giving him all the things that are going to make a lot of difference for every other coach that you interview. So in order to sign up for those things, here's what I need. I need the money guaranteed. I need a couple extra years on the contract. I need security for my client. Because coming out of this, he may not get another job.
Mm-hmm. Here are a couple of sides of the from the texters. Do you trust Caserio with this hire? One person saying, if Caserio is making the hire of the coach with zero input considered from Easterby, then I trust the hire. And then you have Dylan who says, Caserio meddling too much in coaching affairs just seems like it will end up blowing in the Texans' face just like O'Brien. Why don't people in this organization know their role?
Well, I think that's because the head of the organization doesn't have a role unless it has butter on it. I think that when Cal's looking at all this, he's not savvy enough and football smart enough to realize this is a scenario that is set up for failure and there is a lot of red flags. He's just set up with, I got another Patriot guy, and I got the guy that Jack said is the guy for this. So I realized that even though Bill O'Brien, same mold, same Patriot guy, same guy that ended up digging a massive hole for us, I got a guy that Jack says is the right guy this time. And Jack says is the guy that really knows Belichick better than anybody, and he knows how to get this thing done. So that's all I need to know. Instead of having the set, you know, again, we always talk about rich men love to have yes men around them because they need people to fluff them on a daily basis and tell them how great they are. But what they really are afraid of, which they need more than anything else, is someone that's willing to push back. That's why, for me, Brian Flores is such an intriguing candidate, because he's not a guy that's going to roll over and play dead for whatever Caserio wants. There's going to be times when he's going to push back. He did it with Greer in Miami. Maybe he did it too much. But here's a guy that he already knows that has a relationship with that he can play nice with when the time is right. But also when he's been pushed too far, goes, time out. Nick, we got to talk. Because as much as I know this is your deal, then you hired me to be a part of it, there's certain things I just can't do, and I don't think it's right for us to do. and then you can have a legitimate conversation about it, as opposed to Geppetto, who's got the puppet controls in his hand at all times, and he's telling you how, what to say, when to say it, and what to do. Otherwise, you're going to be out.
Jason asking us if Hines Ward is really that far-fetched. They hired David Culley. They reputedly made head-scratching moves. I don't see the wide receivers coach at FAU being the next head coach of the Houston Texans. Even David Culley was an assistant head coach for the Baltimore Ravens. Even a Gerard Mayo has been with the Patriots the last three seasons. I can't see a guy being a college wide receivers coach and being the next head coach of the Houston Texans.
The one thing, though, that does, guys, bring me up to some level of concern, and maybe that even reinforces more that they're going to go the Patriots' way this time, is when you've got the guys making the decision for whatever anybody believes or doesn't believe, it's pretty much a fact. It's either going to be Caserio by himself or Caserio and Jack, but they're both Patriots guys. The fact that they chose a guy as their head coach that had no ties to the Patriots way the first time, that also didn't had any ties to being a head coach or coordinator, that's the one that sends up the most reinforcing message of, this time we're getting our guy that's been in our system to do it our way, as opposed to a guy we really think's a good guy that could be the right guy, but then turned out to be completely the wrong guy in David Culley, that came from the Ravens and the Chiefs and the Eagles and all these other stops.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we return, let's get into this Dallas debacle. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.